It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
Welcome into the Sports Objective right here. A great night. We've got a reminiscing about a great event last year. With us right now, Kyle from LaGrange Barber. What's up, dude?
What's going on, Dave? Should be fun to catch up with these guys that participated in the regional last year in Greenville.
Bubba, what's up, dude?
What's going on, guys? How are y'all doing?
Doing fantastic. I know we've got a great show tonight. You want to introduce our guest?
Absolutely. Like you mentioned, Kyle, last year, obviously, the Greenville Regional. Very excited to have three guys, or two at least, right now with us. A third's trying to join the broadcast with us. Welcome into the show, Liam Scaffarello, and then also Colin Donnelly. Guys, great to have you with us.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Wanted to have you on. What a great time last year at the Greenville Regional. I know you guys were fantastic. What a great program your coaches built and you guys built. You know, I actually have a political science major, so I graduated from East Carolina in 95. I know about Quinnipiac because of the political polls, but you guys have built an amazing baseball program. And I tell you what, there was a lot of people impressed with you guys that Friday night of the regional last year. Right, guys?
Yeah. Yeah, like our coach said, we had to play perfect baseball that night, and we did. So that was the only way we were taking them down.
Yeah, absolutely. It was one of the once in a lifetime opportunity, and you know that was something that I'll never forget in my life. And you know, just coming from you know our championship where there's like a couple hundred people in the stands to have you know 5,000-6,000 in the stands was crazy.
It was that you guys' first trip to a regional.
Yeah, first time since, what, 2005, I think?
Yeah, our coach went when he played there. So it's been like 14 years.
Yeah, and that, guys, last year, previewing that regional, we had Coach John Delaney on. Like you said, Coach Delaney's team was the last to have made it to a regional for Quinnipiac. Just before we talk about the regional, Liam, you referenced that MAAC tournament, the thrilling win you guys had over Fairfield to make it to the regional, 6-5, 13-inning win. So talk about that MAAC tournament.
I mean, we went in there we were really hot from that weekend before playing Manhattan. And we just went in there and we took care of business first couple games, played tough competition. And then that last game was what felt like took 10 hours to finally win. It was just – I don't really know. It was just too much. It was a lot to take in the moment, for sure.
Yeah, and how rewarding was that for you guys to win your conference tournament and make a regional? I mean, in college baseball, you know, I guess that's the goal every year, and to finally realize it had to mean a lot to you guys.
Absolutely, yeah, it was. Yeah, I mean, you can go, Don.
We took a lot of strides in the past 2 years with the program. And I feel like having the experience from 2018, we built off of that, and we knew that we needed to go out there and win game one in the tournament. And it was hottest at the time. It didn't always have to be the best seed, but we had the two seeds, so we got the bye, and we knew we needed to win that game one and then build off of that.
Yeah, I was going to say, guys, I remember when we had Coach on, he was talking about the very fact of how you played a heartbreaker, I believe, in 2018 in your conference tournament, and you guys met out at center field. I remember talking about that and how y'all were determined to work really hard to build from that and make it to a regional. Not only did you make it to a regional, you beat one of the best teams in the country on their home field at their regional. So you got to be very proud of that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it was the junior class. We were kind of sick and tired of not, you know, taking that next step. And we finally, you know, took it. The whole team, we said, screw, we're not doing this anymore. We don't want to feel this feeling next year. And we worked really hard in the off season, and we really built a camaraderie that, you know, can't really describe unless you were a part of the team.
When you got the selection and you found out you were coming to the Greenville Regional, were you familiar with East Carolina baseball? I mean, being Northeast guys, obviously we're not an SEC or an ACC school, but a lot of baseball tradition. Were you guys excited with the pairing? Did it matter to you? Were you just glad to be going somewhere?
Well, yeah, I actually knew a good amount about it just because my pitching coach in high school for high school baseball, he was committed to East Carolina, and then he got drafted out of high school. And then I'm from New Jersey, so I knew Mike Trout was going there. And then I obviously played with Jake Kuchmaner, and then I played with Cole Beaven. So I had heard some stories from them, but we were honestly really surprised that we got that high of a seed, just because we knew really all we had under our belt was the Wake Forest win earlier in the year. So the RPI for the MAC is normally a lot lower, well, higher. But yeah, we were surprised to get a number 10 seed. We thought we'd be going top five easily. But definitely excited about the knowing the little bits about the atmosphere there.
Colin, talking about the atmosphere, I guess shortly after that regional was announced on that selection Monday, so you went on Twitter and you tweeted, "I am the jungle." So just talk about that. And that was something, there's a lot of fun back and forth between you and at ECU Jungle and also at LF Megaphones, of course, the Left Field Megaphones account, who were so prominent at Clark LeClair Stadium.
Yeah, it was awesome. I didn't expect it to get that big. I didn't know that they were that big on the fan accounts, but I thought it was really good banter before the game, and it was nice to like put some name or some faces to the accounts at the game, and they were really nice guys, and they gave me a ball that said "We are the jungle," and all signed it. So it's nice. Like, I have stuff like that in my room to remember.
Talk about the atmosphere that you guys faced. What were your anticipation when you were thinking about when you got that Greenville Regional? What did you think going in? How would it be? And how was it different when you actually got to Greenville and actually stepped onto the field?
Well, I had no idea. I had no idea about the jungle or anything about that. It was when our pitching coach, Pat Egan, came up to me, and our outfielders were like, "Yeah, like you guys are in for it," because they pack that thing and they pack it to the max. And he said, and they showed us a picture and all that, and we were like, "Oh, like," because we had just dealt with hecklers before, a few series before, and you know, he's like, "You guys just can't catch a break." So we were pretty excited, but we were also like, we didn't really know what we were stepping into.
Did you find the hecklers to be, I guess annoying, they try to keep it pretty PG out there.
In right field, not so much. Actually, it was kind of kind of a different story in right than in left with Cruz. He had a good experience, and he just got it all weekend. They were just giving it to me. But you know, in the game, you really don't hear it too much. It's when you're before you know, live play starts, like when you warm it up and stuff. But other than that, it wasn't too bad.
How loud? Yeah, a lot of times in right field, that tends to be the students who are more likely to let some stuff fly that they shouldn't.
Yeah, they were letting it fly. They were just letting it loose. Even when we were losing to them, ECU in the ninth, I think it was like 13-3. They were just letting it eat on me, and I was like my last inning of college baseball. I was just letting me enjoy it, but. It was all good banter. It was, you know, I was enjoying it, just enjoying the atmosphere.
But that first game, at least first game for you guys in East Carolina, where you won, that was, I mean, you couldn't have drawn up a better start. You jumped on the Pirates early, and then it was a heck of a ball game throughout, and some big moments where I know where Alec Burleson for East Carolina came in and got a big bases loaded strikeout. But prior to that, I think you hit a ball to the left center field gap that still hasn't landed. Talk about your memories of that.
Honestly, I only remember hitting it. I don't remember anything before it or after it, or this adrenaline was just too much. But I just remember looking down at Coach Delaney, and he just gave me the nod like he usually does in those situations. And I happened to get a good pitch, you know, my pitch, and I took advantage of it.
So, did you guys get to experience any Eastern North Carolina barbecue when you guys were down here?
Yeah, definitely did one night. We went to what's the burger place again? Twice. When you build your own burger.
I never went. I never had any.
I know what you're talking about, Colin. The name escapes me, but
it's like Big Daddy's.
Big Daddy's Burger Bar.
Yeah, Burger Bar.
So to answer the question, no, you didn't get any Eastern North Carolina barbecue.
I think we did. We went there twice. So that's a place that I remember.
Okay. Eastern North Carolina barbecue. Nobody hooked them up, Bubba. Nobody hooked them up. It's whole hog barbecue. You guys, if you ever make it down to a game again, we got to make sure we do you right.
Hey, now, Colin, I guess, and Liam as well. Obviously, Liam, you were in right field, but the left fielder – and I guess maybe more than just the left fielder there after that, the second time we played you guys, you talked about there's a little care package or plates of food that were given to you guys. What did that consist of if it wasn't barbecue?
Honestly, I think Anthony Cruz was out and right that game, and he was talking to them about something, and it came up how he was allergic to nuts or whatever, and they gave him a big care patches of brownies and cookies, and they made sure to not include nuts or anything like that. So it was nice. Yeah.
Now, I'm just irritated with East Carolina in general. Now we got to get Ryan Robinson on the line. We got to get some people. We can't have guys coming in for regionals from freaking Connecticut and not introducing them to Eastern North Carolina barbecue. What are we doing?
Well, maybe they don't want it. Maybe we were being hospitable.
No, they want it.
Now, obviously, the next day, guys, and you guys were getting ready to play Campbell, but did you have the opportunity to see any of the East Carolina NC State game? Obviously, that's a huge in-state rivalry.
Yeah, they were playing right before us when we were playing Campbell, I think. Yeah, so we saw Agnes threw a really good game that day, and they kind of controlled the game the whole time, it seemed like.
Now, college baseball obviously is very popular in the Southeast and out on the West Coast also, and in Texas. Up in the Northeast, college baseball doesn't seem to have the kind of following. Is it because the weather? Is it because pro baseball is so prevalent up there? What do you guys think it is?
I think it's the weather.
Yeah, I think it's between the weather and, you know, just not having, you know, some of the facilities that, you know, the SEC, ACC have up here, you know. Yeah.
Guys, as far as the current season goes and all the stuff with COVID-19, can you give me your reaction? How does it feel? I think, Liam, you've already graduated, but Colin, you still had another year, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was it was really tough taking it, to be honest, and it puts a lot of us in a really, really tough spot just because the NCAA kind of left it up in the school's hands, and we're not getting our scholarships back. So it's,
oh, wow.
do you want to end your baseball career like that, or do you want to take out another big loan and come back and play with your friends? And we got the meat of our team coming back, so I feel like we have another chance to be in a regional, and that's the whole purpose for someone like me coming back, is to win another ring and play in another regional. So, I mean, I'm just trying to take it as a blessing in disguise that you have another year to play with your friends, and I was planning on staying for my master's either way. So that definitely makes the decision a little easier for me, but for other guys, they're put in a really tough spot. So, and it definitely wasn't easy going down for a while.
And how?
Yeah, we had guys like Nick Barber.
What?
Go ahead, Dave.
I was saying we have guys like Nick Barber who were seniors that are not coming back, unfortunately. But I understand that it's a tough decision, and sometimes it's best when you have like a case like Nick where he already had his degree and I think, Bubba, he was getting ready to finish up his master's here pretty soon.
Right. Like you said, we only have four guys who fell into that boat, and Nick Barber was the only one who, unfortunately, like you're saying, for financial reasons, being an out-of-state guy, could not come back. But you did have three pitchers, Tyler Smith, and then also Matt Bridges and Greenville or Winterville native Cam Colmore, all three are coming back, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on with Corey.
How are you guys, each one of you guys, where each one of you at right now, and what are you guys doing to pass the time during this lockdown?
I'm just staying busy, you know. We're supposed to have a workout in Tucson in April, early April. So, I'm just keeping going with that. So I'm just keeping up with my training and, you know, trying to keep pass the time by going fishing and, you know, Zooming with my friends and spending time with my family. And, you know, that's pretty much it. I'm pretty sure everyone else is doing the same thing.
What are you fishing for?
I was fishing for trout this past weekend. Actually, me and Chris were, and we got absolutely fried out there because we weren't prepared about the sun.
Catch anything?
No, nothing. We didn't even catch one bite. We didn't get one bite.
Nothing. Oh, man.
5 hours, nothing.
I just got actually back to Connecticut, and I have family up here, so I'm working for my uncle, just doing like cleaning and a little bit painting and stuff, but yeah, just trying to make some money and pass the time. That's a 5 a.m. wake up every day, so. Oof.
Yeah. Either one of you guys play MLB The Show?
No.
Actually, I don't even have a system anymore.
Okay.
Now, Liam, I know we talked about it off the air, but talk about after your time last summer ended at Quinnipiac, just talk about the opportunity you had to continue playing baseball.
Yeah, so I took I went onto this page called Meet a Prospect, and I put all my stuff on there, and I ended up playing in Amsterdam with Team North America in the World Port Tournament, which was an absolute blessing. It was probably one of the coolest things I've done, you know, other than, you know, winning a championship and the regional and all that. But going to play in Europe was absolutely – it was crazy, and they love baseball out there, so.
Amsterdam, that's a fun place to visit also.
Yeah, it was fun. It was once in a lifetime opportunity for sure.
Yeah,
it's all about the tulips, man. It's all about the tulips, right, Colin?
Yeah.
What about the with you guys, as far as I know, they're having the big baseball tournament coming up. We want to talk to you before we'll give you a little bit more time here. I'm looking at it. But as far as I know, there's a college baseball tournament coming up in June in Texas. I just want to get you guys your reaction about it seems like they're going to, quarantine the guys like at their own hotel. They're going to bus them back and forth. There was all kinds of, they're going to test them. I know COVID-19 tests, and they're supposed to get results back quickly, all kinds of stuff like that. How do you guys feel about that being baseball players? And it's so out of the norm of what a baseball series would be all about.
It's definitely fits the times, but I just don't think at this point that anything wouldn't come about. It's weird though. Not that I've never played in front of no people or anything. Just all those extenuating circumstances are speaking to the times. So it's crazy.
Colin, yeah. Before we went live, Colin, I was asking you, I'd seen that you guys had played down at Mississippi State this year, obviously a tremendous new ballpark, was renovated here in the last two or three years, and East Carolina played down there last year, a midweek game on spring break. So tell Pirate Nation what that experience was like.
It was an unreal experience. The only field I really can compare it to is the Dunkin' Donuts Park in Hartford that was just built in 2017, and it's a double-A park, and it's extremely nice, and that's the only field that I'd say, that in East Carolina are the top three, but just the entire stadium and back made it feel more like the Yard Goats. It was completely wrapped around, but the atmosphere wasn't nearly what East Carolina was. And I had heard rumors that it was because they were playing Arkansas the next week and they were on spring break this week. So apparently it's more packed than that, but the people were really nice and everything, and the field was nice. It just wasn't, it felt a little empty there.
You guys talk about going to Mississippi and East Carolina and different places down south. How often is the name of your university mispronounced, and what are some of the mispronunciations you guys have heard?
Oh, it's always mispronounced. The one we always hear is Quinnipiac, and I don't really know where the W comes into play, but they always pronounce it wrong.
Yeah, some people really stress the P sometimes.
Yeah.
Things like that. Yeah. But it's said wrong more than it's said right, I'd say.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Have you ever heard this one? Sometimes intentionally, just because I struggle with saying it wrong, I intentionally just go way out there and call you guys Quinnipiac, like Winnipeg.
Yeah, we've heard that one too.
Yep.
Well, I didn't even make it up. Okay. Don't feel bad. Somehow people call us Eastern Carolina. We get that one all the time.
Yeah, as far as you guys, what's your plans up and coming as far as do you have – I know, Colin, you said you're going to go back to Masters, and Liam with the Bull. Are you hearing about – as far as another question I had with you guys, are you hearing – about Major League Baseball, I'm hearing there may start spring training in June and July, like an 80-game season. Are you hearing the same thing?
Yeah, I heard that. I saw that actually on Twitter from Trevor Bauer. I think that's awesome. I think, you know, whatever it takes to get them playing again. I mean, it's definitely going to be tough because, you know, families and stuff, and it's just going to be up to the players, I guess. I don't know.
Are you trying? Is that what you're doing? You're trying out for a minor league team, or is that an organization?
No, yeah, I'm trying out for the Atlantic League, and hopefully get signed, and then hopefully try to get onto a big league team. You know, get a minor league contract, and then take it from there. See what happens.
That's awesome. And yeah. What, Colin? What are you getting your master's in?
Business analytics. We have a 1-year program here, which is nice. So I start a summer class in 2 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah, I'll be a full-time student all next year, and then I'll have my master's. So it's better to just get it done.
It sounds good. I wish I had done that. My parents told me that years ago. I just didn't have a reason at that time to get a master's, but radio career was more important than a master's at the time. So anyway, guys, thank you so much. Before we let you go, how can people follow you? And means a lot that you guys – we have a comment that we can say before we let you go there from David Batts. Left field megaphones in the house. They won't even let you alone in an interview. There you go, David. Thank you so much for that. How can people follow you guys on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram?
I'm all the same. Liam Scaff. Liam Scaff. No space.
Okay.
Colin, how about you, Colin?
Colin _ Donnelly, DONNELLY.
All right. Thank you so much. It was a great regional last year, and you guys are awesome. And we appreciate you so much for spending time. It seems like we should be talking about regionals now instead of, I guess, at least we have to the memories right now. But very surreal. Thank you, guys. And I guess it's the time we live in right now.
All right, thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Sure.
Appreciate you guys very much.
All right.
All right. Have a good night.
You too.
All right. The great, great guys there from Quinnipiac. Appreciate them very much. And look forward to another great season coming up. Guys, that was tremendous. Those guys are, they were very cool. And I felt that way when they beat East Carolina last year. Certainly we knew that was a possibility. It happened. East Carolina pretty much because of that loss had to battle back and play, what was it, 4 games, guys, in 48 hours. It was insane. So a tough night, tough night there cost them pretty much any kind of chance or hope at a super regional. We've talked to several guys from that team last year, and they even told us that. So not something that we're speculating. It was pretty obvious when they got there to Louisville. And do we have our next guest, Corey, on?
No, we don't. Corey will be joining us soon. Dave Batts was having fun with the one up, one down, and two up, two down.
I tell you one thing. That's one, to me, that's one of the highlights of certainly being there. I'm on the third base side. And, Bubba, where you guys are, your seats in right field on the first base side? I know you said pretty much Bubba and his dad are behind home plate, but where are your seats in first base? But anyway, we're going to keep the show rolling here. We'll have Corey Glory in just a few minutes. And certainly there, Johnny Gardner there, got in late. Did Colin talk about interaction with Holton? No, I didn't hear him talk anything about Holton. Maybe Johnny knows something. Johnny's a very smart guy. I don't know about that. And I know he has a baseball background with helping being a part of the administration of the Carolina Mudcats. So I think it was a general manager for Johnny. I believe that's right, but
I'm not sure. And guys, if I don't respond to a question, just continue on with things. That's what I'm having some technical issues over here. I thought at home that it was my internet. I don't know. My parents should certainly have faster internet than what I do. But for whatever reason, I'm having some issues. I may try to move upstairs, I'm actually closer to it right here. But I may try to relocate and see if I have any better luck. But I was texting with some of our viewers. They said they're able to view it without a problem, so we're at least good from that standpoint.
All right, I was going to say Bubba, my dad would say you're not holding your mouth right. That's the reason why you're having trouble tonight. So,
yeah.
Anyway, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Corey coming up. How much longer do we have to wait on Mr. Glore?
It should be any time.
Corey Glory, celebrity making a dramatic appearance.
Not that Kyle from McCrane's Bar would ever do that.
No, never.
Holton met the team bus when he arrived after Colin Twitter blast. Good scene. Oh man, okay. Holton did that. That's pretty cool.
Now that Johnny Gardner specified that, I do remember seeing that Holton Ayler's. Because Holton had some exchanges on Twitter with Colin Donnelly. And I do remember seeing that Holton met the team bus when Quinnipiac arrived.
But, how about, speaking of Holton, guys, how about the promotional video that came out today featuring Holton Ayler? It's very, very good stuff.
Yeah, and basically what the theme of it, Kyle, was something to the effect of sometimes you're born a pirate.
Yeah, it was all about War Pirate Nation. And he was talking about how lucky he was to be born a pirate. He's always been a pirate. The only way he knows is the pirate way.
And I tell you, we had Coach Houston. If you haven't seen that video, that show from Monday, check it out. It's in the archives, and certainly we have it on the podcast. We put the podcast out as well on Monday, so check that out. And Coach Houston, I was thinking about that today, guys, this morning, leaving for work, about how blessed we are to have Mike Houston. It was so – Kyle, I was thinking about you and I when we were freaking out that night that when Houston, we thought Houston had signed with Charlotte. You remember that when I was at work and you were
Charlotte was going to hire Mike Houston. And of course a couple of days later, he ended up being the head coach at East Carolina. Things worked out well. Things worked out well for everybody. Charlotte ended up making a heck of a hire. They went to a bowl game in year one. Of course, a lot easier schedule in conference play for Charlotte. And I think they were left in a better situation by their previous head coach. He was building something there. We got the coach we wanted. Charlotte made a good hire. So things worked out well for everybody.
Hey, Kyle, I want to give a shout out to our good friend of the podcast, Audrey LeClaire, is watching. Audrey, thank you so much. I know, I believe ALS Awareness Month, and we're always thinking about your dad. If it wasn't for your dad, we wouldn't be in the position to have a Cliff Godwin, to have all that we have right now.
Dave, now you want to get ratings up now. Since we got this video format, we need to get Audrey on here. That'll get some viewers.
Hey, Audrey. Yeah, Audrey, come on. Yeah, we'd love to have you. Audrey can come on anytime she wants. She's a good friend. And she and her mom and everybody, the family, LeClaire family, have always been good to us on the podcast. You're welcome anytime you want. You can have a space like right here beside Kyle, or I guess either side of Kyle. So you can come on anytime you want. All right, Bubba, you hearing anything from Corey?
Yeah, Corey's good. That's what I told Corey, that I'd give him a heads up as far as when to join in. And I told him, I said, the reason I didn't is because I was having these technical difficulties and I really couldn't tell what the status of things was because my computer screen was frozen. But here's the man of the hour right now, the play-by-play voice of East Carolina baseball, Corey Glore.
Hello, gentlemen. It's a pleasure to see you.
Hello, Corey.
Hey, and by the way, I'm the folks, man of the hour, by the way. There's no way I'm the man of the hour.
Yeah, you are the man of the hour.
I was watching some of the stuff with the Quinnipiac boys, and I love how on all the promotion for it, I'm like Alice from Brady Bunch. Like, oh, and also Corey Glore's coming on. Like, I'm going to draw people in.
You're the draw, baby.
You're the man. You are a big draw. I tell you one thing. Whenever we have you on, like our previews of the season, different times, it'll be a few hundred listens. Honest to God, you're one of the best guests that we have on.
Well, it's look, true. Well, a third of them is me because I'm extremely vain. So,
how have you been spending your time during this lockdown?
I've been watching a lot of old and even occasionally new television. I've been trying to like set a routine and set an alarm every morning and get up at a normal time and try and not eat horribly over this while I'm just sitting here doing nothing. So it's been a struggle at times, but I've not shaved. That is pretty evident. And I also, like all of you, haven't had a haircut, and that's why the hat is on, because my hair is horrible right now in terms of length. So
at least you have a bad hair day.
That's valid. I will give you that, Dave. But I'm not doing much different than most everyone else has been doing over the last near 2 months now. We're just trying to just getting up each day and starting and seeing what I can do, or sometimes just sit around and not do anything.
How about that, Corey? You just got a major upgrade. Dave Batt's daughter thought you were Luke Bryan, so.
Wow, the singing ability. I don't know if that's the sound of my voice or the scruffiness of me right now. But no, I cannot sing like Luke Bryan, and I don't know if I quite look like Luke Bryan. But I appreciate the comment, whatever way that was directed.
Corey, I like
you. Who's going to win American Idol this year?
Steve.
Corey,
I haven't watched American Idol in 20 years.
I personally like you better than Luke Bryan. Luke Bryan is absolute garbage. Since you have been confused for Luke Bryan, we got to get you to sing "Country Girl, Shake It for Me." So go ahead.
I knew you were going to say that. Oh my God, shake it for me, girl.
And then that's you, Dave. Corey,
I don't know if I've ever heard that song.
That's a good thing.
We've established this before. I'm not a big country fan.
Well, then, you've
given me a recommendation or two, but I know of Luke Bryan, and I probably heard that song, but I don't know it well enough to even sing it.
Well, Corey, you said you're not a big country fan. Neither is anybody else that listens to Luke Bryan.
Wow. That's a wide blanket you just cast.
Yeah, right, well, here the thing about Kyle is that if you have outlaw country and it's a genre, then you can't be outlaw country and be on mainstream radio because it wouldn't be outlaw country anymore. So, and there's still a lot of what?
Well, no kidding. But wait a minute, that's not true, Dave. What about Waylon in the 70s and Willie and Chris Christopherson and Johnny Cash and David Allan Coe?
That's totally different. But anyway, it's totally different.
There's one country artist. It's kind of two right now that I'm getting into a little bit. And I think they were actually supposed to tour together, but that tour has been canceled this year. But Sturgill Simpson and then Tyler Childers is the one who I've recently been exposed to. And that's I'm trending more towards Tyler Childers at the moment in terms of something I listen to more regularly.
If you like Tyler Childers, let me recommend Turnpike Troubadours.
Turnpike Troubadours. I love the name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think they kind of, if you like one, you should like the other. Tyler Childers is great. Go if you haven't. Check out his acoustic stuff. obviously the two commercially released albums, but he put out an acoustic album that was just fantastic.
Hey, guys.
Look at Josh Thomas jumping in timely like that.
That's priceless. That's what I love about it. That is one good thing about software. We can put up comments like that.
And Dave, sorry to interrupt, but it's probably not a good idea to have a podcast at your parents' house, because then your mom walks in breaking out pictures of you on the toilet when you're 5 years old.
Yeah. Well, you're the one showing it, Bubba.
Hey, yeah, I mean, I obviously didn't care. So,
and that picture. I mean, eventually, the choice is yours, there, Bubba, to show that.
Exactly.
Well, hey, we need to get Gary on.
Opportunity, and I made a poor decision.
Hey, Corey, have you ever heard one of Gary Rosenbaum's Jungle Calls?
I feel like
he's not familiar with that.
Well, certainly not. Well, you're going to have to explain it to me, because maybe I'm misappropriating it. But
so the first time I hung out with Bubba and his dad and mom at a game was the Charlotte game back in December, as far as being together, like watching the game. And his dad laid out like a really big yell, and I call it a jungle call. And it really is. It's one of the funniest things. I paid more attention to his dad some of that game, like him getting so excited about the game, the Charlotte game, than I did the basketball game, because he was so into
basketball.
It.
And I was so confused about his Charlotte game in December. And then I remembered that ECU did host Charlotte, right? We hosted Charlotte this past year. Gotcha. Yeah. I feel like, because the Rosenbaum clan has been on road game trips before, and so I feel like at some point I had to have heard that over the years. I still remember vividly running into you at Sheets coming back from Charlottesville, Bubba, my first year. But
yeah, Corey, it's something that he kind of got from a guy named Waylon Summerlin, or maybe they both did it, and then they stumbled upon the fact that each other did it. And it was something that he's done for several years now, and he does it in basketball games when opponents are shooting free throws.
Come on, Waylon in the Aiden Griffin area, Bubba?
Yeah.
Yes, Waylon Summerlin from Griffin.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm pretty sure it's the same one. Yeah. Waylon from Griffin, right?
Yeah, he used to work with my former stepdad.
He's legendary, like Howard Owl and Calvin Green.
Yeah, he used to work with my former
stepdad. So, Corey, one of the things that
– stepping all over each other.
Okay.
This is wonderful. The art of visual media.
Yeah, exactly. We actually, I don't know if we get any, like, maybe as far as being the an agent for you, but we put a huge plug in for you with Ryan Robinson. He was bragging about you because of the future games that we're going to have to broadcast. We're like, hey, you're going to have Corey Glory right there in your back pocket. Use Corey for the games.
Oh, well, thank you. Do you want commission for that?
No.
I'm not prepared for that. My only stipulation now is that now I need all the games sent to me in a nice highlight package for me to call. Like, that's what I've experienced over the last 2 months, is just doing that. Just send me a nice 8-minute highlight package, and I'll record it and send it back to you, and you can play it.
Corey, so
thank you. I appreciate it.
Corey, do you get on TikTok?
I do not, no.
Okay, well, there's a guy.
I only see it secondhand through Twitter, Insta, all that stuff.
There's a guy on TikTok. He sounds like a professional announcer. I don't know if he is or not, but he sounds great. And he voices over Little League baseball, Pee Wee football, and it is fantastic. It's like, you know, it's like, here he goes, and the pitch to the plate, and holy, you know, whatever. He missed the whole effing play.
Well, what broadcasters really want to say at times.
It's great. Yeah, I'll put some links. It's funny stuff.
The number of people in this industry that have found various things to call over the last 2 months has been, well, we're a weird lot, and so I'm not surprised by that, but just some of the creativity, like the one that I found early on was there's an English rugby announcer who has like gone out to various parks in London. I think he's based in London, and he just calling people like walking their dogs and holding hands and walking down the path, and it's hilarious. Like it is, we're a strange bunch in this business, and so the fact that the tentacles have spread out as far as they have for us to desperately call people doing things that we're incapable of doing, we're weird. We're a weird group of people, broadcasters.
All right, here's a question for you from David Batts. When can Malcolm Gray get more voice time?
Well, here was the deal. Malcolm Gray, sports information director of ECU baseball, legend in the business and at the school. He was going to make his debut on the airwaves the season debut in Charlotte for that weekend series, which was about 6 years ago by this point. But we had technical issues. In fact, it was probably operator error. That'd be me. As I was getting all of my gear unpacked in the Charlotte booth, the cord for one of the pieces of equipment that I have just snapped as I was getting it all out. And that would have made it possible for more than one person to hear what was going on. And after talking to the Charlotte people and their tech staff and actually running to Best Buy and trying to get something put patchwork together, we were incapable of getting Malcolm on the air for that weekend. We were all set to go for the next road series, which would have been UCF, I believe, for him to jump on the air. And then this happened. So he was poised and right. Well, he was ready to be on the air. I don't know if he was poised to be on the air. He's very reserved when it comes to that. But he was going to be for road series this year, and then things came to a halt. So he should be back in 21. That's the plan.
Corey, one of the things we wanted to talk about with you, I don't think you guys have talked about this when I had my technical difficulties, but with the Quinnipiac guys, it kind of came up by accident, just talking about the guys that are going to be able to take advantage of the NCAA ruling to come back next year, Tyler Smith, Matt Bridges, and also Kim Colmore. Obviously, Nick Barber, unfortunately, choosing not to do so for financial reasons. But just talk about those guys.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised the NCAA did rule completely across the board like that. I was kind of anticipating that it would only be seniors would get an extra year back. And the fact that they did it for all classes, all spring sports was a shocker to me, but they also did, as the NCAA can be one to do at times, kind of pass the buck to schools. And we were talking about that with Colin Donnelly about how Quinnipiac is not going to hold scholarships for their returners, it sounds like. And so they have a more difficult decision to make. I don't know what ECU and the specifics are going to be for them, but I heard pretty early on that if the NCAA ruled this way, that Tyler and Matt and Cam would be returning. And Nick had a lot of things floating around the air where he had a job lined up to start this summer, and he was poised to get his master's degree, and so he had a lot already in place. And not to mention, he's an out-of-state student, and right now he wasn't on scholarship, and so he had a lot on his plate to try and dissect. So I'm not shocked at all about the route that he took. It was the right move for the NCAA to make. It is a challenging move for all the schools to sort out now, and I'm pleased that it's a problem to have, frankly, because it could have been a lot messier had the NCAA ruled otherwise.
Glad to have Pirate Al is joining us tonight. Appreciate you very much, Pirate Al. As always, one of the legends, and going all the way back to the definitely the 90s, calling in the radio shows. As far as I think one of the things, Corey, that I love about Coach Godwin is he really gets the social media thing. He does a nice job of putting out a lot of stuff there, especially now. I know it's been really hard for him. Have you had a chance to talk to him? And hopefully we can get him on soon. But if you had a chance to talk to him, I know that being the competitor that he is, we should be talking about the regional coming up instead of reminiscing about the past or talking about outlaw country or your haircut. So Luke Bryan.
My lack of haircut is what you're referring to. Cliff and I have exchanged texts over this time. That's kind of the extent of our conversation. And it really hasn't been much about pausing baseball. It's been just kind of checking in with each other, seeing how we're doing. He's doing well from every conversation that I've kind of had with him. I heard him not too long ago talking about how there's still a lot that he's doing right now. And you see the camps that are trying to get underway and he's trying to put in place, but they're doing a lot of stuff online with the Cliff Godwin baseball camp now about doing instructional videos. And so he's working on that. He's very active in social media. He's still recruiting and they've got to do a lot of now roster figuring out with now the crunch that's coming for 21. And so there's a lot that he's still doing, even though we should be, this weekend, which should be Tulane. And so it should be really home stretch time. And it's not. It's been an adjustment for everyone. But there are people that are equipped to handle things being thrown at you. And baseball coaches are one of them. And Cliff has been kind of on top of a lot of things, not just all that stuff I mentioned, but keeping tabs on his current players who are scattered all over the state and the country right now, and making sure that they are doing well, treating their bodies well, treating their minds well as they go. This is finals week. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that he's still kind of juggling right now, even though there's no games being played.
Boy, we mentioned these guys that are coming back. How about the ones like Alec Burleson, Gavin Williams, Bryson Worrell, some of those guys who may be going to the pros? That remains to be seen, depending on how highly they get drafted. Have you heard anything about those guys?
No. I think there's this can go to Alan here as well. First of all, Bubba, I want you to move to a different room of the house like every 90 seconds. Like that's what I want to see from you. I want you to be outside by the end of the night.
I'm trying to be as distracting as possible.
Yeah. I haven't heard anything. I haven't really talked to those guys much since this all happened. I mean, nobody knows even today how the draft is going to look. Nobody knows if there's going to be a draft and when that draft is going to be this year. So there are going to be decisions to be made for Alec, for Gavin. I think those two assuredly will probably have some decisions to make once something gets figured out draft-wise, and whether there are 5 rounds, 10 rounds, however many rounds there might be, and if teams can sign players that aren't drafted. There are still so many eggs to be cracked that I don't know if anyone knows for sure what those two guys are going to do. You mentioned Bryson. I think there's someone could certainly take a shot at him, but it all depends on how many picks are available, how many slots are there, how teams are going to allocate money now when all of those teams, we've heard for years, Major League Baseball teams are somehow losing money every year after year. Well, now they're actually going to. And so there's going to be a very different environment surrounding the draft this year, not just when it happens, where it happens, but how many guys get picked. And if it goes beyond that, if teams can just sign guys who are eligible, nobody knows. And so the only people that would probably have even some semblance of an idea of what they might do are Alec, are Gavin, are Bryson, are all of these draft eligible guys, or Seth Cadell, Thomas Francisco's eligible, like all those guys, they probably have some rubric of what they would be doing, but they can't make any sort of decision until Major League Baseball makes any sort of decision. And right now they're trying to get back on the field for better or worse.
We had a question from Pirate Owl. Bubba, there you go for you, Corey. Also percentage of Marino enrolls.
I don't know what that means. to be completely honest, I'm assuming that's an incoming recruit. We talked about this before. I don't plunge too deeply into incoming classes.
Yes, Corey, that is. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I was muted and I had a little delay there. But Cohen Marino, he is a incoming recruit, like you guessed, and he is from Panther Creek High School in Cary, North Carolina, 6'2", 165-pound pitcher. He's obviously one of the many highly regarded kids in this class.
Yeah, he's going to have the same decision to make. And I do wonder if baseball, if professional teams take more shots at high school players, if there's a shorter draft because you can have longer to develop and there's so much uncertainty about when this season will start and how seasons will look moving forward. And so percentage, I have no concept of what that will be, nor probably does he right now.
And Corey, what about we were talking about the expansion of the roster. Well, refresh my memory. Did the NCAA expand the roster?
Yeah, what it is the roster, the 35-man roster in baseball can expand by the number of seniors that come back. And so essentially, as it sits right now, ECU for 2021 can have 38 on their roster, the three returning seniors, and then the 35 to do what they want with. Some guys have already entered the transfer portal. You have a class coming in, and so there are more things that have to be fleshed out with that 35. But the Smith, Colmore, and Bridges have spots on the roster that don't count to the 35. Every team around college baseball gets an additional number of spots based on how many seniors come back, or 2020 seniors come back for 21.
And I remember hearing Cliff say in an interview that he had, I believe it was with Pirate Radio here a few weeks back, and just saying the way it was working scholarship-wise was whatever those guys were getting this year, they had to be locked into that same amount in 2021 because that was one of the issues that made it even more challenging for Nick Barber to potentially come back. Not that he would have anyway, but he said Coach Godwin was just saying with the way they – we're working the 11.7 scholarships that Barber this year was actually not getting the money that he had in the past.
Right. And players can only make the or can only get the scholarship amount that they were getting in 2020. That's the max they can get. They can go down. That's up to the schools to discretion to figure that out. But those scholarships also don't there's only a max for the returning seniors. You can't add anything more to that. And so that was one of the stipulations with Barber is they couldn't add a scholarship to him because he didn't get one in 2020.
Okay.
That'll Corey, one of the other things. Sorry, go ahead, Dave.
I was just going to ask you, Corey, as far as Major League Baseball, Bubba and I, we were exchanging, I think, and it was in our group text about potentially a season starting, I guess will be in June will be a spring training and maybe half a season, like starting in July for Major League Baseball. Have you heard about that?
I have seen those reports, and now baseball has come out and said those are unsubstantiated.
Oh, okay. I haven't heard that part.
I mean, the through their main beat reporters like Rosenblum or Ken Rosenblum, I can't figure out his name right now. What the heck just happened? My mind has exploded. But Jeff Passan was in there. Ken Rosenthal. That's his name. We haven't had baseball in forever, and I forgot the lead MLB reporter. They've come out and said that there's no actual firm plan because right now nobody can really put a firm plan in place, even as we sit towards the middle of May. I wouldn't be surprised if that's what Major League Baseball is trying to put in place, have a short spring training starting in mid-June to get started by like 4th of July. But I would imagine they, like many other professional sports leagues, even just companies in general, want to see how the month of May plays out around the country as more and more states start lessening restrictions and more people start going out. And I bet they want to see what this does in terms of the impact here and whether or not things go up, things go down before they make any sort of firm call as to when they might get back on the field. There are a lot of people on social media, even just media, who are just kind of taking stabs at, you know, this is when we'll be back, this is when we're shooting to be back, and right now just nobody knows anything, and that's a weird spot to be in. And so when you see university presidents from around the country saying we're not sure about college football starting, or yeah, we're definitely sure college football is going to start in September. Nobody knows. Like, that's just still where we are. And so for Major League Baseball, and for NBA, NHL, all those leagues that stopped, they're probably wanting to see how the month of May fleshes out here around the country before they pull the trigger on any sort of restart or start in general.
Corey, one of the things you probably heard us address with Liam Scafariello and then also Colin Donnelly, we were talking about the Collegiate Summer Baseball Invitational that's going to be taking place the first week of June down in Texas. You, of course, are going to have guys from Texas, A&M, Texas Tech, Texas State, and I'm sure other Texas programs, but then there were also guys coming from as far away as Penn State, and then there were a lot that couldn't be released because the contracts hadn't been signed. It's going to be a three-day, four-team event where guys are going to be isolated at a hotel, shuttled back and forth to the ballpark, and all meals are going to be brought to the hotel. Had you heard about that, and what are your thoughts on it?
I read the article on D1 Baseball they posted, I think it was Monday. I think it's a pretty poor idea, because aside from, I think, NASCAR, who's trying to start in a few weekends, this is the first attempt at someone trying to pull off a sporting event in this country. And I looked at their website today, the CSBI website, and I read the piece on D1 Baseball again. There doesn't seem to be a lot in what they're fleshing out to me that makes this sound concrete in terms of they have everything locked up, ducks in a row. They said they're going to test all the players and the coaches. Well, we still are dealing with a lack of testing in this country. How are they acquiring all these in a state that's been somewhat open now for the last week and a half? They have all these organized setups with hotels nearby. They got staff on hand for the ballpark in Bryant. There are a lot of things that I don't feel like they probably have at the ready. Not to mention, it's not just players from Texas that you alluded to. Players are coming in from all over the country right now for this thing. That's a month from now. And now, as states everywhere start allowing people more out of their houses day in and day out, now you're just bringing people in from all corners of the country for a three-day event that, when I looked at their website, it seemed a lot more concerned about the fact that sports are back and you're going to watch and people are going to watch with you and give us $50 to watch on YouTube. Like, I'm very skeptical of what this is. And not to mention the fact that we're just where we still sit nationwide. This seems just like a really poor decision to make. And not to mention, you're doing this for two college kids who right now aren't making a buck off of what you're doing. It doesn't sit well with me, what's being put in place right now. And I hope wiser heads come into the mix here and say, maybe we should rethink this or push it back even, instead of racing to be one of the first sporting events to get going here this summer, because I still don't think we're ready for things like this just yet, even if they close it off to fans.
Yeah, I agree with you as far as the risk versus the reward standpoint. I mean, it's not like, and let's say if this, instead of mid-March, if this would have occurred a little bit later in the year, and not that this would have been right, but if they were trying to get some postseason baseball in an abbreviated way or a faster way, that kind of thing.
And I get the idea behind the weekend here. It is supposed to give prospects a stage for scouts. But right now, scouts aren't allowed to do anything for professional baseball. They might be given a grant, like an exemption for something like this. But again, we don't know what the future holds when it comes to Major League Baseball and bringing prospects in. And so this seems like something that's being designed without a lot of input from outside forces, from NCAA, from Major League Baseball, that I really hope a month from now, selfishly, I'd love to see baseball back and college baseball in some capacity, but I just don't think we're there yet, unfortunately. And so you want to hold this 4th of July weekend, or at least schedule it for then. Give us a little bit more time. Go for that. But to be the first on the field to say, look at us, look at sports, that's not the thing to do right now.
It's very scary, especially, by the way, guys, Texas, this past weekend, they had the theaters open back up. And my understanding, I read an article, Corey, and guys, where they actually, when you went back to the movie theaters, it was more like a TSA screening to get in the movie theater.
Yeah, Texas has been, they kind of started reopening things earlier than a lot of other states around the country. And I know everyone is very frustrated with how things sit right now. And now states are beginning to roll out plans like North Carolina did yesterday. There was a plan in place about what the schedule might be moving forward. That schedule, at least in North Carolina's side, is still pretty long about what trying to get back to normal. And so to have a baseball tournament in less than a month in a state that has been a little bit more loose with some of the restrictions that they put in place, I think there are more bad things that could come from that than good.
Hey, Kyle, I think Bubba's smoking a cigarette off camera, but he keeps moving his
head. I was wondering if Kyle's okay. Like, he's just sitting there.
Yeah, well, no, I'm fine. I was listening. Taking this all in about the tournament in Texas. I have mixed feelings on it. I would be more okay with it if it was just Texas kids, but since you are flying people from all over the country, I would say it is voluntary. Nobody's making anybody go. But when you got college kids and saying this is a chance for you to perform in front of scouts, it's very tempting. And you don't always make the best decision when you're that age. So hopefully they're getting good input from their coaches and their parents about whether they should take part or not.
Well, and I saw Kendall Rogers, who's D1 baseball reporter I really respect in the college baseball world. Someone just flat out responded and said this seems like a bad idea and mentioned the travel of kids coming from nationwide. He said, well, most kids probably would just drive, and that's a leap you can't make, because one, I have looked at flights here recently, and they're exceptionally cheap right now because nobody's flying. But two, you just can't presume that a kid from Penn State will hop in a van and drive to Bryan, Texas for a 3-day weekend. But this will be more than 3 days. It's going to be a 14-day where you're in the hotel. If you bring family, they're quarantined with you in the hotel. It all seems like a lot for a 3-day weekend to showcase, your ability that, frankly, a lot of scouts already know about. Like yes, this season would have proved a lot of things, but scouts know around the country what Alec Burleson's capable of doing, what Gavin Williams is capable of doing, even if they didn't see a lot of it this year. Is that weekend in Texas going to change much? Like that.
So you're going to be quarantined for 14 days. Is that before the tournament?
Well, they get there, from what I read, they get there the Monday before the tournament starts, the Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Yeah. And they'll go through the COVID tests if they procure them. They'll do temperature checks all the time. They'll be shuttled to practice. And as Bubba said, bring meals into the hotel. But that's the rule of thumb right now in the country is 14 days is kind of the quarantine time. And so if they're lax on that, that seems even more foolhardy with all of this. And the person who's creating it, to be honest, this is a tournament I hadn't heard of before. That doesn't mean it didn't exist before, but it's the first time I've heard of it. It's run by an entertainment guy who's trying to get an event streaming for people to buy in and watch. And so I don't know if there's a lot of – it's easy to say, yeah, we'll test them all when they come in. How do you get those? How do you sanction those off when you still have – I just got an email a few days ago. There's a testing site that's now open here in Greenville. And it's like, that just started just nearby me. So how can you be sure you have everything you need And if something goes wrong, if say the worst case scenario happens and the virus contracts in one of these players, then that shuts everything down and everyone's in the hotel and that shuts the hotel down. And it just begins again in a smaller way. So let the month of May play out and as more states loosen what they're doing and then see where we are. And if you can get things back in practice or start up these little tournaments by 4th of July, great. But a month from now is way too soon to me.
Hey, Corey, what do you think about some of the programming you've obviously had? I think it was yesterday, ESPNU had on some of the classic College World Series games from over the years. I know they had on 2006, North Carolina and Oregon State, 2000, Stanford, LSU, et cetera. I didn't watch a ton of it, but when I was around the TV, I checked a few innings out. And then also something else that's obviously been talked about a lot is The Last Dance. Are you watching that?
I didn't watch any of the baseball on ESPNU. It might just make me sad. But I have watched the first four episodes of The Last Dance. I didn't watch this past Sunday. It's been good. It hasn't been what I thought it would be. And so I think I have to adjust my viewing of The Last Dance because it's been I tweeted out Sunday. I chose the season finale of Westworld over Last Dance on Sunday because I'm a Westworld fan, despite all its many flaws, and the finale was awful. But there is more time jumping in The Last Dance than in Westworld, and that's saying something. And so it's hard to follow, frankly, for me at times, which I shouldn't be saying about a documentary about a basketball team. But I've enjoyed some of the behind the scenes look. Horace Grant is my favorite so far. Like he's a gem of a human being. He looks like he ate Horace Grant and then bulked up. Like he looks like a lineman. Yeah. And he has right now the best line of the show, which I don't think I can say to the family friendly audience.
I've watched the first three episodes and the thing that I forgot about is how poorly Scottie Pippen was paid during that time. I forgot all about it.
He did not get the money he deserved in Chicago. They did set him up to get nicely paid after that, though. Like he got his money when all was said and done. It just wasn't with the Bulls. He got it with the Rockets, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I do remember that. But all right, guys, do you have anything before we go ahead? Yeah,
something else I was going to bring up, Dave, kind of piggybacking off some of the comments about The Last Dance. And then there was one other thing I was going to bring up about East Carolina. But as far as The Last Dance, some of the off the camera banner, like between Michael Jordan and then Jerry Krause, that was kind of funny. I think it was something about, are those your short pills, Jerry?
They certainly are setting up Jerry Krause to be a huge villain and all of that. And a lot of it's warranted, but yes, the interactions with Jerry Krause have been a highlight as well.
And the other thing I was going to bring up is the virtual games that you've done for East Carolina that I think those are strictly Twitter. At least probably eight or so of those now, if not more. And I know the first one had about 30,000 views, and then these last several have had probably a minimum of 5,000 views. So those have done really well, and it's been good to hear you describing some East Carolina baseball, even if it's not actually Pirate baseball.
Yeah, that was, I believe it was an Eric Ward concoction. Maybe it was him and a combination of a couple other people in the marketing department. But I just remember getting an email from Brandon Smith from the video department and just said, and then Brian Medor texted me. It's like, hey, can you record play-by-play for this and send it back? And then I opened it up and it was this 7-minute video game simulation against Cincinnati. And I was like, all right, I'll give it a try here. And frankly, I thought it'd be easier than it was. And it was much more difficult than I was expecting. It took me far longer than I care to admit. But I also had the benefit of doing retakes, which was nice. I could actually like try and make it solid and perfect it and almost script it out. And that first one really blew up. And that was cool to see. And I know the guys seem to have liked it and the fans have loved it. And so we keep doing it, and it's helped me keep the kind of the pipes going a little bit throughout all this. It's a very different animal than calling a live baseball game. It is harder than calling a live baseball game, but it's been a lot of fun, and I know that fans have really taken to it. So I've been happy to be a small part of what the ECU marketing team has been doing here over the last couple of weeks.
Do you guys want to hear an inappropriate baseball joke before we go?
Sure.
Why Kyle not? Hasn't spoken in a half hour, and here he comes to end the show.
He was taking a nap. He's taking a nap.
That's what the sunglasses are for.
If you're easily offended, close out your browsers now. Why don't orphans play baseball? Why don't orphans play baseball? Because they can't find home.
Oh man. Well, okay. What a way to, this has been one heck of a broadcast, probably our best episode ever.
Wow. I've been transported to hell all of a sudden. That was fast. Thanks, Kyle.
Only laugh on the inside, Corey.
Well, rough. So Corey, I want to apologize on behalf of the guys for probably one of the worst episodes. And I'm sorry that your name is associated as much as we think of you. It'd be different if you were like a bad guy and a villain, but we really think a lot of you. I want to give you a chance to plug one more thing. I saw today where you have CoreyGlore.com. Can you talk about that, and then we'll wrap things up?
Yeah, I was sitting around and bored out of my mind early on when all this started, and then I decided to kind of put some of the stuff that I have and I've done over the years and put it on a website to share with people. And so, it's kind of a snapshot of my work in the industry, ECU related or otherwise. And it's various examples of me calling baseball, basketball, football games, production work that I've done, hosting work that I've done. I put that out today, in fact. So that's been an endeavor for the last few weeks to try and put something like that together to make sure that I'm never leaving your ears, even in down times like this. I'm always going to be there to make you paranoid with my voice. That's the goal.
Corey, we know you call baseball. We've heard you call basketball. Have you called any football?
Yeah, I have. It's been at high school level, but I've called it.
Okay.
And shameless plug, if you go to CoreyGlore.com, you can hear examples of it.
Maybe
that's awful.
Maybe the ESPN Plus games that are streamed from Dottie Ficklin. Maybe Corey Glore and Jay Sunhalter, the official ESPN Plus broadcasting crew. He's gone.
I would love the chance to chat with ECU about whatever we can do moving forward. I'm open to anything and everything.
Corey, have you met?
Just don't watch this broadcast. Don't watch this broadcast. It will hurt Corey's chances.
Oh, no problem, Dave. I was just asking Corey if he had met Jay Sunhalter.
I don't believe I have. No. I have seen a couple of things that he's done. I know he hosted the signing day thing on the website earlier this year or December, I guess. I forget the signing day is December now for football. But I guess there's technically one in January or February, too. There are so many signing days. I've seen some of the work that he's done. I don't believe I've met him. I don't know if I've come across him at a baseball game or not. But I've seen some of the work there. And I obviously know that he played here. So.
Right.
So what we need to do is have both of them on a show together and see what kind of chemistry they would have, right, for a broadcast.
So you want to do a screen test? Is that what you want to do, Dave?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
An unsanctioned screen test to see if we have any chemistry.
Yeah, right here on the sports objective. Yeah. I don't know. We've heard your chances. We're hurting your chances right now, so we better go. But before we go, how can people find you on social media?
At Corey Glore on Facebook and Instagram, and I guess technically Facebook, but Facebook exists. So Twitter, Instagram, at Corey Glore, and now the website if you actually want to hear more of me.
All right, sounds good. Thank you so much, Corey. Appreciate you, man. Thanks for hanging in there with us. It's been a long episode for sure. And hopefully we will get better next time you're on.
Audio. It usually is when I'm involved, but thank you for having me on, backing up the Quinnipiac boys. And gentlemen, continue to stay safe. Bubba, continue to move to various locations in your house, in your parents' house. Kyle, look alive, my man. And Dave, have a better hair day next time.
I will. All right, Corey Glore, play-by-play voice of the ECU Pirates. Thank you, dude, man. Have a great night.
Bye, guys.
All right. Love that guy. Corey Glory puts up with us all the time. Guys,
audio only. That was terrible. That was terrible. I want to apologize to Corey, to the listeners, to the viewers.
Quinnipiac, guys.
That hot garbage we just put out as a live stream podcast. Good guy.
It was probably the worst one ever, but we're getting better at this. Yeah, we're going to get better at this, I promise. All right, guys. Well, until next time. You've been listening to and watching The Sports Objective. Good night, everybody. Go Pirates.
You've been listening to The Sports Objective podcast. Join us next time as the guys will be objective, and the objective is sports.